Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
New inductees have been announced. Samoa Joe gets his rematch. And is CM Punk done with wrestling? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So, who are the new inductees into the WWE Hall of Fame, Aaron?
Well, we have a couple, which is Mr. T and Carlos Colon. And I gotta ask you, Andy, Mr. T, do you think he is deserved of being in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I don't know. If they're going to induct a match, yes. Him?
How do you induct a match, though?
That's honestly the thing. If they were going to induct the match, that's one thing. If I remember right, he was just at WrestleMania 1, and I think he appeared a couple of the other WrestleManias as well, but he only wrestled that I remember once. Mm-hmm. And it was an okay match. I mean, for Mr. T, it was an okay match. I should say, for a non-wrestler, it was a decent match. But also, you got to remember, back then, it was simple stuff. Punches, kicks, maybe a leg drop, body slam. That's pretty much
it. Well, yeah, he's not a wrestler, but you have Donald Trump, Drew Carey, Pete Rose in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the only reason they did Pete Rose is to say that he is in a Hall of Fame. That's not the baseball one.
I'm just saying, in all honesty, Mr. T is more deserved of any of those people. And so I'm okay with that. I do think, though, they have six people in there now. I'm not sure. But I got to ask you, what do you think about Carlos Colon?
To be 100% honest, I don't remember him at all. Okay. I just don't know. So I can't comment and say that, oh, he is so deserving of it, because I'm not sure. And I don't want to be, you know, like a jerk about it, but I just don't remember him.
So, and that's fine. He did not do much with the WWE. I mean, he was in there for a very, very short amount of time. But he did a lot down in Puerto Rico, and that's where it was a really big deal. However, though, there's kind of a protest with him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Were you aware of that?
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, so, you know, back in 1988, he helped cover up the killing of Bruiser Brody. And Bruiser Brody was a really big brawler. He was like 6'8", like 300 pounds, this big, intimidating-looking guy. And you can probably thank him for like the likes of probably like Mick Foley, really even Undertaker. You know, he had that type of wrestling style that I think fits with those people nowadays. And anyway, what happened was Brody, he kind of had a reputation of being, he could be hard to work with at times, you know, it was kind of his way, so to speak. And he got called into a meeting in the shower. He gets stabbed, and he later goes to the hospital, and he ends up dying from the stab wounds. And Carlos Colon testified against Bruiser Brody during the trial. And because of that, they got a not guilty verdict for the person that stabbed Bruiser Brody, which was Jose Gonzalez was the name of the guy. And so that's what happened. So Carlos Colon actually helped another wrestler basically cover up the killing of someone else. So I'm actually against him being kept in the Hall of Fame. So I know it's kind of a long, drawn-out thing and probably brought the house down. Let's talk about something, though, kind of a bigger deal. Did you hear about the JBL Cranky Vince thing going on Monday?
There was a tweet that got sent out that was sent actually to, I think, Cranky Vince first. But it wasn't in the usual all caps. Like, you know, usually when Cranky Vince tweets something out, if you don't follow him, you have to. It's all in caps. The weird part was that there was a tweet that was sent out that didn't make sense. And then it was taken down later. But someone, of course, got a screen cap of it of it. And that same tweet that was put out under JBL's name. Now, I would not be surprised if it is JBL. But there's speculation that it's not just JBL, but maybe a couple of other people. I think someone said at one point the rumor was CM Punk, but you know, I wouldn't believe that at all because he's not very big into technology. But they're speculating that it could be some former talents that maybe have gone to TNA that are behind this.
Yeah, could be. The one thing about it, so having the two tweets go out at the same time, I've done that before. When I have, of course, a couple of accounts. We have the Off the Mark 86 account where I've sent something from my account that also gets tweeted out from another account. It's like, oh, I didn't mean that. That's supposed to be for this one. And so I've done that before myself. However, the one thing about the screen cap that people showed was that it came Cranky Vince's one came from the internet, whereas JBL's came from an iPhone. That's the only thing. So I don't know if there's an option to change where it comes from when you're doing it from like a Hootsuite or TweetDeck type app.
No, it actually will say that it's coming from like sometimes ours will be Hootsuite. Sometimes it'll be TweetDeck. Not a lot of Twitter or web. But yeah, you can't change that. So maybe that was a little joke or rib that Cranky Vince decided to play on JBL.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that he was following somebody really closely and then he pushed it out and the second that it went. So he saw JBL tweeted something, immediately copied, pasted, and then hit send. And I mean, that's possible. It really is. But anyway, Andy, let's move on to WWE programming for this week.
Yeah, so Del Rio beats Big E in a non-title match. Oh, I didn't even realize this happened. I was fast-forwarding through Munch of Raw this week.
Well, this one was actually on SmackDown, surprisingly enough. So they actually had a good match on SmackDown.
That says a lot then. So I'm surprised, but this is setting up to maybe a feud at WrestleMania where you have Del Rio versus Big E. That could happen, but I think... Well, I guess if you had to put a Del Rio in a match against someone, I guess this would probably be the best way to do it. But I think Big E can wrestle good, but I don't think he'll be good against Del Rio, if that makes sense. I think their styles are a little too different. Del Rio is more of a more action-based. And Big E is more a big move here, and you pause for like 20 seconds, and another big move, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Big E can sell, he can do all the different bumps, the front flip bumps. That's something, that will actually help Big E later on. But against Del Rio.
Well, let me ask you this much. Del Rio has kind of dropped down, to like the upper mid card, even mid card area. And we have Antonio Cesaro and we have Jack Swagger. They were going against Big E. Do you think that this could be an opportunity for maybe a fatal four-way for the IC title at WrestleMania?
That would probably be the better way of doing it. But and that would also lead to possibly, I don't know, because Cesaro is going to split at some point. It just went. And who do you replace Cesaro with?
Mm-hmm.
That's because you can't have Del Rio because he's already bashed Del Rio multiple times. And everyone knows that Del Rio is Mexican and he's not, something else. So how would they work that into a storyline?
Well, yeah. So I don't think that you would have Del Rio involved with the real Americans. You have to bring in somebody else. Honestly, you'd have to bring in either somebody from NXT or you had to find somebody else on the roster that you can be like, oh, he's American. He's a face. Let's turn him heel, make him a real American or, somebody that's already a heel. And I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Brodus Clay.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Probably.
That'd probably be the better one.
Because what are they doing with him? Has he been on TV?
He's going to be on NXT here or sometime in the next few weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
But he also cut a really big heel promo, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but the point is, I think that a fatal four-way for the IC title at WrestleMania would be the perfect way to kick it off. You have that as being the opening match, and guess what? It's going to be awesome. In my opinion.
Let's just put it this way. This would be the pre-show match because the Battle Royale is going to be on WrestleMania.
A four-way? A fatal four-way for the IC title?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking this wouldn't be the opening match because, you know, the Battle Royale is going to be the opening match. Yeah, but this will probably be the second match, though.
We'll see. So anyway, Andy, this week's Raw, a lot of Triple H and Daniel Bryan stuff. Triple H makes his match against Daniel Bryan a number one contenders match for later in the night. So now whoever wins between him and Bryan will get added to the Batista Orton match. What do you think?
Big news, because I didn't expect this, but it throws a curveball, because now you're going to now I think it's more about the marketing aspect of this, though, because you can't say that, hey, if Daniel Bryan wins, then, hey, it's going to be a three way. How do you advertise that? But if you advertise the winner of that match, that match is now going to be a three way, and the winner of Triple H, Daniel Bryan, they're going to face whoever, you know, in the main event. That changes things up. And as at one point he did say that he didn't take his ball and go home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a little slam at your boy, CM Punk.
At CM Punk.
I think that this is a really good idea, too. I agree with you. And the main reason why is because if you say, well, if you beat me, you can be in the main event. That's almost like saying, hey, you're going to beat me. You know, like that's kind of like that. But if you say whoever wins this match is going to get put into the other one, that's a little bit bigger of a deal. And I think that it adds a nice dimension to WrestleMania. So kudos to them, to the writing team, for adding this stipulation in there. Now, Andy, in the later on, we did have Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan won with a assist from Batista spearing Orton, which was kind of cool. But then later on, we had Triple H and Bryan. They had a segment that ended Raw. What did you think of the segment?
I think the viewership proved that no one cares what Triple H is doing, and they changed the channel now out of protest.
I
think the segment was stupid. This was boring. Okay, Triple H is beating him up. Okay, anti-bullying. Let's just talk about that. Anti-bullying.
I'm talking about the whole segment.
The whole segment stuff, it was good until the beatdown. Once the beatdown happened, I just didn't. To me, it's like, okay, he's handcuffed. Okay, of course you're going to get your way against him, but that's the only way that you're going to be able to beat Daniel Bryan. But at some point, you have to just say, this is, I don't need to be on TV. You know, I think this is ego getting in the way of business. And I hope they say something about that. I hope that someone, they put that on TV and actually say something along those lines. A trademark, off the mark.
So I'm going to disagree with you. I got to stop you.
All right.
And I got to be the contrarian here.
Oh,
I thought it was fine. I actually did. And look, I am not a fan of Triple H. I am not a fan of his at all. But with all of that said, the whole, the verbal, like talking to, at first I was like, oh crap, Triple H is trying to, you know, be the good guy here by saying, I respect you. And I think that you're a really nice guy. And then when they arrested him and then he goes and beats the crap out of him, I was like, oh, OK, that's actually fine. You know, now I understand that he was just blowing smoke and now he's beating the living crap out of him. And that's fine, because guess what? The week before, Daniel Bryan got one over on Triple H. This week, Triple H gets one over on Daniel Bryan. And guess what's going to happen next week? I hate to spoil it for you. Daniel Bryan's going to get one over on Triple H, and then Triple H is going to get one over on Daniel Bryan on the go home show. That's what's going to happen. And I'm okay with that, because guess what? If you just had Daniel Bryan beating down Triple H, that match doesn't mean crap. It's not an underdog match. Instead, it's this massive entity who is Daniel Bryan, who is the biggest, best thing in the world, who happens to, you know, destroy Triple H in their match. Instead, you're wondering, is Triple H going to win? I don't know. And so I'm okay with this.
I'm sorry, but I think you're completely wrong here. This same.
So you would rather have Daniel Bryan just destroy Triple H?
No. The excessive beatdown, that was stupid. That was completely. I can't believe that they actually let that go into the. I wonder what Vince was thinking the entire time. Like, hey, yeah, you know, son, let's go ahead and have you beat the crap out of probably the number one guy in our, you know, I'm sorry, the number two guy in our company to make yourself look big. Okay, and yeah. then we'll switch off who gets the better of it. But I'll tell you now, right? I'll tell you right now. Next Raw, Triple H will get one over on Daniel Bryan again, and then maybe the following week, Daniel Bryan might get one out, and then Triple H will have the last laugh, of course, on the Raw Go Home show.
There's only two Raws left, though, isn't there? Before WrestleMania. There's only two Raws left. That's what I'm saying. Bryan gets it over next week, then Triple H. Because the 24th and the 31st.
Then I'll take that back. He will not get one over on Triple H.
You think Triple H is going to get it over
the next two
more times?
Yes.
Okay. Well, either way, that doesn't matter. The whole point is that, I mean, let's be honest here. Daniel Bryan needed to lose. He needed to lose to Triple H in this type of a segment.
Not the beatdown. That was excessive, though.
So?
There's a point where it's okay. Oh my gosh, it feels so bad for him. But the guy's handcuffed, and you're beating the crap out of him for what, 5 minutes? And Daniel Bryan, I gotta give him credit. He has to win the title, because if he doesn't win the title, then I think you're gonna turn a lot of fans away. And I think also some people will say, you know what, I'm making my money. I see that they're gonna continue to pull this. So I'm going to go ahead and get my money and then get out as soon as possible. And right now, I have no idea what Daniel Bryan's contract is, but if he keeps going to the main event level and then losing, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, listen, Bree,
I think so.
We're going to get our money and then we're going to go, because he doesn't, she may have a spending habit. But I'm pretty sure he doesn't, by the way he, lives. And you know he makes a ton of money.
Here's the thing, though. You and I are going to disagree on it. But I think that you cannot have a hero rise from the ashes until you beat them down. And so that's why I'm okay with this.
This is way too far down, though. Way too far down.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you this much, though. When he wins at WrestleMania, you are going to say, you know what? Man, it was so epic. As opposed to, yeah, it was okay. Instead, it's going to be a lot more.
If the
epic
beatdown happened for a minute, it's one thing. But you can't let it go down for 5 minutes. It's like when Bret Hart kept giving Vince McMahon the chair shots. At some point, you're like, come on.
Well, that was just annoying and it was stupid.
And that's how this came off to me.
Andy, before we thank our sponsors, I got to ask you. You told me you've been watching a lot of wrestling recently. Tell me a little bit about what you've been watching.
Well, the first thing I started watching was I've been watching a lot of Shoot interviews. And of course, the Chris Hero one's, I think, probably the better one that I've watched in quite a while. But I've also been watching these in the ring stuff. One was with Jimmy Cornelius, the ref. He left WWE a while back with a special appearance by Paul London. But he actually talked about refereeing, and it was really interesting, some of the secrets that you never notice. For instance, here's a little quick thing. If you look where the TV camera is pointed at, the ref will almost never he'll never be at that side. He'll always be in a U shape the entire time. Something I didn't know about. Also, there's more to it, but that's one of those where you got to check it out. It's really, really good.
Where did you see that at?
RFvideo.com. I ordered some DVDs.
Interesting.
I got some other ones, but I also got In the Ring with Shane Helms, the Hurricane, Gregory Helms, whatever you want to call him. That one was really interesting because he will do a Q&A section, and then in this case, it was guys from CZW. They were doing some spots. And he would critique them on their matches. And it was really interesting, some of the input that he got. But the Q&A section for his is really good, because he actually talked about how the problem that he had with Buff Bagwell. And it was really quick, but he said that Buff Bagwell was very, very stiff on him. And so that's why he hurt him. And that's why Buff ran to the back crying like a little girl, which I thought was interesting. Completely different than what Buff said. Completely different. But I've been watching a lot of the In the Ring stuff and some Shoot interviews. And it's really interesting, the In the Ring stuff. If you want to get into the wrestling biz, that's something to do. If you don't want to spoil the magic of it, do not get them. Because some things with a refereeing, things have been spoiled for me. And I saw it on Raw this past week. I saw people giving cues that you would never notice it unless you didn't see the refereeing thing. But anyways, if you want to check, you know, there's multiple shoot interviews or in the rings, you just check them out if you can, or, you know, just check them out. They're pretty cool. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 off the mark page. And you'll see a banner at the top where you can save big on items from WWEShop.com. Let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. So Bully Ray and Bobby Roode, is that confirmed now for Sacrificed?
Pretty much. You know, but I got to ask you, so they had a little bit of a squabble this past week at Lockdown, and then again on Impact the week before, and then this week. Are you excited to see these two wrestle?
Yes and no. Bully Ray is a face. I don't know what to think still. I guess I'll have to watch the next few shows to see how that happens.
And I agree with you. I do. I think that Bully Ray, I said it last week, I think he's a much better heel than a face. This would be the instance where I might have him as a tweener. But, you know, of course, they already basically made him a face. But they're also tag team specialists that have broke out and had success as single stars. So does that, I mean, they haven't had a proper feud yet. Does that make it any different for you?
Well, I believe that looking from the big picture, Bully Ray, I think, is on his way out. Bobby Roode, what better thing to do than put Bobby Roode over, make him even stronger, how he can say that I've taken out all the big names and throw Bully Ray in the mix. I think that would be really interesting. Plus, you know, I don't think they've actually had a one-on-one like feud. So this is...
No, I don't think they have either. They've had a match, but they haven't had a feud, though.
I mean, I think they've yelled at each other backstage and like pushed each other, but not like a really good feud. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens with this. You know, at first I was like, I was on the fence, but now I'm starting to dig it more. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I found out the whole reason why Bully Ray and D-Von left. It's actually because it was a cost-cutting measure. It wasn't because he did something backstage. Unless he did, I could not find anything out about that. But it was just
a cost. But he's not as well liked, though.
No, he's not a Triple H guy. That's the thing. He's not a Triple H guy. Because Triple H, I think, believes that he's a stuntman. As in, I think that he believes that Mick Foley is nothing more than a stuntman.
A glorified stuntman.
A glorified stuntman, yes. I'm sorry. And that's what I believe about... That's what I'm pretty sure how he feels about Bully Ray and also D-Von Dudley, that they're just ECW guys. Well, this kind of, I think them going to TNA proves that they're not just ECW guys. You had those spots, but they're not there.
I think that, you know, Bully and D-Von, as much as I would, you know, when I think ECW, I would, you know, put them in the mix. But you know what? When I think WCW, I think of Jericho and Benoit, and those are people who, you know, Jericho has spent more time in WWE for his career than he did in WCW. Same thing with Ric Flair. I mean, I would think, you know, WCW Ric Flair before I think WWE, but they act like he is WWE. So, I think that's kind of a dumb, you know, for them, for WWE, if that's what they think. I think that's a dumb argument on their part. So, Andy, Magnus defeated Joe. Obviously, there was a lot of interference, and I got to ask you, Abyss came in again. Do you think that we may see a Joe Abyss feud down the line?
It's going to have to be. I mean, there's no way to explain it. They're going to have Abyss Samoa Joe feud. And when you do that, that's going to be great. But then Samoa Joe will need to move on and then go back to Magnus. But in this time frame, you can have Magnus feud with someone else. And then that'll lead up to the his rematch against Samoa Joe, probably, I would say, August sometime.
What do you think about this? This is a fantasy booking here. Joe gets dropped out of the title picture pretty much. He goes on these secondary feuds with Abyss and other people. And then he wins Bound for Glory and he takes Magnus on then.
I don't want Magnus to have the title that long.
It's a long time.
That's a long time.
Okay, well, how about this then? Magnus drops the title at Sacrifice to somebody, and then he wins the title back a couple months later.
No.
So what's that way you give though? Somebody a feud.
But well, what's the point of him dropping the title? You have to have something.
Help elevate somebody, you know?
Who? Think about it. They didn't, you know, Daniels and Kazarian are basically gone. Austin Aries, there you could care less about anymore. You could give it to Kurt Angle, but I think his contract, I think they said it expires in like July or something like that. Yeah, really, who's left? Abyss? Kenny King?
You're not going to give it to him. He's green.
The Great Muta?
Bobby Lashley?
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. I would rather see EC3 hold the title before Bobby Lashley.
So speaking of EC3, Andy, let's move on to our weekly topic. This is something we've had this on the back burner for a while, and we're going to finally talk about it here. Is CM Punk done with wrestling? Andy, I got to ask you, do you think he is done with wrestling?
Yeah, he's done.
Really? He's done.
Like I said, I've said it before. I see he's done. He went on the Talking Dead on last Sunday. And he said he feels better or whatever. He has a new leaf and all this stuff. And I thought that meant, hey, he's going to show up for WrestleMania. He doesn't care, but he will regret it. I'll just say that now. And by this year, he will not be back in the WWE.
So, okay. So you're saying you don't think we'll see him in a WWE ring before the end of the year?
No.
Okay. I do.
All right. Why?
And here's the biggest reason why. If you ask any retired wrestler, any of them, they will say, I miss being in that ring. I miss being there. If you ask a wrestler that has come back after an extended period of vacation, they'll say, oh my God, I love being in that ring. Rock has said it. Flair said it. Hogan said it. Any of those people that have left, they come back. And I think that CM Punk is going to feel that itch and he is going to be like, man, I need to get back in there. And I think that we will see him in a ring.
Oh,
and in
see,
particular,
see
WWE,
that's a thing.
In particular, WWE ring before the end of the year.
Not Ring of Honor?
No. But let me ask you, do you think we'll ever see him in a ring? Any ring?
In Ring of Honor, I believe it because he wants
before the end of the year?
I don't know.
We got 9 months. You know?
Okay, realistically, I see him. Do you actually talk about competing or wrestling?
No, just in a ring.
In a ring, yes, he will. Because I think someone will throw enough money. I think Ring of Honor will ask him because he's still friends with a lot of people that are in Ring of Honor, and he has said it before that he thinks he always says good things about Ring of Honor because remember, Ring of Honor was his stepping stone, not TNA, but Ring of Honor was. Then he went from Ring of Honor to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he believes that he owes them something. So that's why I believe that if he ever comes back, if he comes back, it'll be for Ring of Honor. But that would be it. But then as stubborn as Punk is, I wouldn't be surprised if he just says, I'm done. Like, I'm never going to have anything to do with wrestling. But in 10 years, when he needs the money because he did something stupid at one point and he realizes, oh, crap, I need to make some money fast. Then he's going to regret this WrestleMania and basically walking out of the WWE because he's going to think that he's worth X amount of dollars. And people are going to say, no, you're worth about a 10% of that.
Even if you have a ton of money in the bank and you live a normal lifestyle, there's a point in time where you'd be like, all right, you know what? Like, I've burnt through a lot of this. I really have. And if you had $10 million, let's just say, in the bank, a lot of people, myself included, would be like, wow, I could probably live off that. I could do whatever. I wouldn't have to work another day in my life. But realistically, unless you invest that properly and you don't have any issues, then you know what? You're probably going to run out of money at some point in time. And I really think that for him, I think that something's going to happen where he's going to have to be like, you know what? I kind of have to go back, or he's going to feel the itch where it's not about money, but it's about going back and proving that he still is the best in the world. And I think that that's what he's going to have to do. And I see him not only in a ring, but like I said, I see him in a WWE ring, and I don't have any full-on logic. I don't have anything that really says this will be this way no matter what. This is a gut feeling. And, you know, I'm going to go with my gut, and I think that we will see him back. And I think that cooler heads will prevail. And, yeah, he is stubborn, but I don't think that he's stupid. And I think that's a big distinction.
Here's one thing. There's been reports, multiple reports, saying that if Punk would have stayed in the WWE and just wrestled WrestleMania and then called it quits, he might have actually made basically over they estimated it would be over Access. So we'll say from that Friday to Tuesday that of him working, that he could potentially be leaving over $1 million, including his $1 million, not including his merchandise sales, on the table. He could as a wrestler. Now you throw your merch sales in. Let's just say he gets an extra 15 grand. So let's just say he would have got 1.1 million. We'll just round it to that. How many people would actually walk away from that much money just to prove a point? Because at some point he's going to get cold. And Stone Cold's the best example. He left so much money on the table. And he's and he'll tell you, he'll be the first one to admit it, as stubborn as he was, and he is. He said that was the worst thing he's ever done in his career, was the fact that he left all that money on the table, because he said he's comfortable and he doesn't have to worry about money for the rest of his life. But having that extra money in case that one weird thing happens, that means a lot. So, yes, CM Punk has pride. He's very stubborn. And I wouldn't be surprised if they threw a ton of money at him and he still said no. That's fine. But in 5 years, in 2 years, who knows?
Because let me ask you this. Where do you see him in 2 years? What do you think that he will be doing 2 years from today? We're still doing this show. We're on episode 300. Where's he going to be?
I guess it would be 300, wouldn't it? It'd be like 320, 330-ish. Yeah. Okay. You know, there's rumors of him doing mixed martial arts. See, he likes mixed martial arts. There's some people who love working on computers, but as soon as they do it for a living, they can't stand it. I believe that he's one of those who will like to watch it. But like him flying out to Vegas all the time, and yeah, he probably gets a free ticket and stuff, but you know, he's probably dropping, you know, $4,000-$5,000 a trip, and that's lowballing it. So eventually that adds up real fast. Because you have other expenses as well. I don't see him doing MMA because he says he does not want to work out. And that's the thing. Mixed martial arts, you have to work out. You have to be lifting weights. And yes, you have to be cutting weight at all times. CM Punk wouldn't hang. I'll just tell you that now. He may think he's all that, but as soon as he gets in there and starts like doing the mixed martial arts, he fails. I'll just say that right now. He may think he's... you know, the best in the world, but as soon as he gets in there, the first time he fails, people are going to lay into him, and I don't think he can handle the pressure, because he will hear about it from WWE fans at mixed martial arts places or on the street. People will make fun of him, saying, oh, you got your butt kicked by such and such, who has an 0-72 record. Glass Joe could beat you. Like, you can go, you keep saying stuff like that. You know, and that's, and I think that would get to him. And I think that then he'd be like, well, screw you guys. I'm going to go to an island or whatever, which whatever.
Real quick, I do want to touch on that point, which is, you know, he claims he is the best in the world, the best wrestler in the world. And if he goes to MMA and he loses a match, especially, you know, one of his first few matches, I mean, Brock Lesnar, he lost his second match, I believe it was, to an ankle lock. Like Brock Lesnar, who is gigantic and looks like he can just kill you with his like stare. Like he looks like he could kill you with his stare. He tapped out.
Yeah, and actually I remember that match because he did this thing, they call it the bear claw, where he'd keep clawing the guy basically. And this guy, he hit him once and Brock was like, huh? And then the guy took Brock down, made him tap. And the thing is, he could have done a lot of damage and he let up on Brock.
Give him credit.
So I don't see him in MMA. I personally don't. But I could see him becoming a personality if he doesn't go back to wrestling. And by that, you alluded to the fact he was on Talking Dead this past week. And, you know, I watched that just because he was on. And I'm sure a lot of other people did, too. And, you know, he came across as just kind of a normal guy. But he has a personality. That's the thing. And one of the things that, you know, you'll find is someone who has a personality, you're probably going to pay more attention to. You're probably going to be more involved with. That's the way it is with wrestling. You tend to gravitate towards people with personalities. There's a reason why John Cena is so popular, why CM Punk was popular, right? Why The Rock or Hogan and all those people. They were popular because they had personalities, and Punk has one. The thing is, I don't know what type of personality I could see him as. Is he a radio personality? Does he do podcasts with Colt Cabana? Does he do do video or like, does he have a talk show? Like, what do you see? Do you see him being a personality?
I don't know. What do you do, though? I mean, at some point, you know, just because you have tattoos doesn't make you over. By the way, the Bella Twins said that. but he has an attitude. He thinks he's the best. That's great. He was on Talking Dead. All right. He was known as Phil Brooks with his Twitter handle as CM Punk. Okay, that's fine. What does Phil Brooks do? Oh, he's a former professional wrestler. You're only going to – if you can get someone else who's actually on something – you're going to grab them before you grab CM Punk. The only reason I'll say this right now, the only reason CM Punk was on Talking Dead is because of what happened with the WWE. If he left the WWE 6 months prior, he would never been on that show. I guarantee it, because he's not doing anything. He's like, oh, I'm showing up and doing this event and doing this event. Okay, that's great. You were at the UFC 171 or whatever it was. Okay, that's great. You were there. So what do you do now? Oh, I'm retired. Okay, retired from professional wrestling? Yeah. Okay, so what do you do with your day? Well, I just kind of hang out. Okay, well, we don't want you on the show then. Because, truthfully, on Talking Dead, I watched like one episode of The Walking Dead. Big deal. But that's the only reason I watched it. But when that show was over with The Talking Dead, I was like, yep, he's done. And then when Raw happened, I completely forgot about CM Punk. Days later, don't care. It's to the point of him, like they took the shots. The Bella Twins took a shot at him, which I thought was the funniest one, was, hey, I have tattoos. Does that make me over? That was probably the funniest thing that either of them said to JBL. That was funnier than the Cranky Vince thing. And then also the Triple H saying, take your ball and go home. Granted, you can say that wasn't shots at Punk, but I'm sorry, that's how I took it. And I bet you that's how they're going to continue to say certain things like that. So Punk, to me, he's done. He's now known as Phil Brooks. And he'll get his residuals from the WWE, but slowly but surely they're going to start taking him out of every little thing. And then when those residual checks keep going down and down till they're almost nothing, his mind may change at that time, but he's too stubborn.
I think that he's coming back sooner rather than later, and I stand by that. I really do. And, you know, I said a couple weeks ago, I'd put $50 down on the table that he's going to be back in a ring before the end of the year. And I still maintain that.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.